Okay, we're on Daf Lamed Chet tonight. Please, I need everybody's attention. Okay. So the Daf tonight is first sponsored by Barry Rubin, on the occasion of the Yortzeit of his mother and sister, Rachel Bat Binyamin and Asnav Bat Yosef, both on 6th Tishrei. And it's also sponsored by Michael Frank, on the occasion of the Yortzeit of his father, Rabbi Yaakov in Israel, also on the 6th Tishrei. All right, so learning is the Luna Shama of all those people. All right, so let's just review from yesterday, and I went over Maharsha today to help you with your question. So we've been talking about different types of mitzvah. Specifically, you have Chobot HaKarka and Chobot HaGuf. So Chobot HaGuf applies anywhere in the world, like Tefillin, Shabbos, that's anywhere in the world. And then Chobot HaKarka, we had a machloket about, which I'll explain shortly, but with Chobot HaGuf, you remember the Gemara had a brisa, and the brisa connected, it says, with Avodah Zarah. So that we know, Chobot HaGuf applies anywhere in the world, that we know. But when it comes to Chobot HaKarka, so then we had different shitot. We had one opinion from Rabbi Shmuel. He says, if it says Bia and it says Moshavot, then he, the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, holds the first version that that it applies after 14 years of Yerusha and Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it's like the clock starts going, and then the Chiyuv fits in. And then, but then Rabbi Kiva held, when it says Moshvotechem, it means anywhere in the world. That was it. So when the Gemara was asking about certain mitzvot or Chobot HaGuf, so in other words, there's no reason for Moshavot. Right. So the Gemara is asking, according to everybody, you know, so the way the Barashan says that, according to all Tanayim, why would it say the word Moshavot by a mitzvah which is Chobot HaGuf? And then the Gemara gave answers for that. Okay, now let's go a few lines from the bottom. Again, so, okay, 7 years of Kibush, and then 7 years to divide up the land. That's what it took. And so in Moshavot means like your dwellings when you're like in and you're inheriting land. Okay, so now I'm going to go over the Gemara from yesterday a little bit. okay, four lines from the bottom on Laman Zion base. 37D, four lines from the bottom, last 4 lines, Bishleima. Okay. So according to the opinion, which would be like Rabbi Akiva, and remember the Tana Reb Lezer in our Mishnah was also like that, when he says the Chadash applies anywhere in the world. According to the opinion that Moshavot means anywhere in the world, like wherever you live, so he says, then I understand the Psukim in Sefer Yoshua. When they entered Eretz Israel, they ate from the new produce of the land from the day after Pesach, which we think means the 16th of Nisan. So in other words, they cross the Yarden, and then they're eating the Chadash as soon as they cross the Yarden on the 16th of Nisan. Let's cross the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan. Okay, let's hold up all questions, thoughts, and we'll come to it, okay? They ate it on the 16th of Nisan, before that they couldn't eat it. Now again, Alma, Akrab Omer v'Hadrachol, so they would bring the Omer and then they're eating it. In other words, according to the opinion that says Moshvotechem means wherever you are, so it's saying that Kadash is the Easter of Kadash clicks in as soon as you cross the Yarden. In other words, as soon as they cross Eretz Yisrael, this is the Easter of Kadash, and it applies anywhere in the world. So the Torah is saying that they ate from the new produce beginning on the 16th, after they brought the Korban Omer. He says, Ella on the top line of Lamed Chen Mun Aleph, Ella Mandamar Bachar Yerush Yeshiva, but according to the opinion that says, presumably Rabbi Yishmael, it says Bia and Moshavot, but it says it by the Chadash. It says Bia and Moshavot by Chadash. Ella Mandamar Bachar Yerush Yeshiva, Nechol Altar. So why do they even have to wait to the 16th of Nisan? In other words, they're allowed to eat Chadash for 14 years. In other words, when they cross into Eretz Yisrael, these Rechadash doesn't click in for another 14 years, according to Rabbi Shmuel. So how does he reconcile that with what the Pasuk says, that they ate the Chadash beginning with the 16th of Nisan? So he says, Nechol Alf, should eat right away. So the Gemara says, Lo Habut Sriche, that they could have eaten it right away, according to this Tana, but they just didn't need to. Dechtiv, Ubnei Yisrael Akhud Aman Arba'im Shana, that Bnei Yisrael ate the man for 40 years, Abu Amal Eretz Shavet, so they came to settled land. They ate the man until they came to the edge of Eretz Canaan. So the way Rashi understands Pshat in the Gemara, Eretz Nof Shabbat means the West Bank, like the well-settled area. That's the way Rashi understands it. And Kitzei Eretz Canaan means the East Bank. So it says that they ate the man till they got to the West Bank, and then they ate the man till they ate to the East Bank. So on the fifth line, Yifshar Lamar Agomar So Shabbat, it can't be that they're eating the man until they come to Eretz Israel, Shikmar Nemar Al Kitzei Eretz Canaan. It says that they are eating it till they got to the East Bank. Yifshar Lamar Kitzei Eretz Canaan. We can't say they ate it until they came to the East Bank, Shikmar Nemar Agomar So Shabbat. Okay, so how do I, what's the pshat in the Pasuk? B'shiva ba'adar mate Moshe, on the seventh of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu died, who pasak man milirei. The man was coming in his Hizukos and stopped coming down. He says, v'yumis tapkin miman shebechleihem, but they were able to subsist on the man that they had already collected on the seventh of Adar, ad shisha asar b'nisan, until the 16th day of Nisan. That's what the Gemara is saying. So when the Gemara says they had the man till they were on the East Bank, it means the man came down. It says they had to the West Bank, it means they were subsisting on the old man. Okay. So again, wait, let's just hold off. Wait, let me see a little bit of Tosfos, then we'll talk. So the Gemara is asking, how do I understand the Pesukim? According to one opinion, the Easter of Kadash clicks in as soon as they cross over the Yarden. That would be according to Rabbi Akiva, right? As soon as they cross the Yarden, the Easter of Man is in effect. The Easter of Kadosh is in effect. So I understand the Pesukim. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, that the Easter of Kadosh only clicks in after 14 years, so why are they waiting to eat the Kadosh? So the Gemara says they could have eaten Kadosh earlier, but they didn't need to. That's the answer. Now, let me just do some Tosfos, and then we'll talk, and then we'll open up the floor for questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So let's look at the bottom Tosfos on Mam and Zayin days. Okay, everybody with me? So it says, Mimach, Rada Pesach HaFol, Mikar LaWachol, Hiksha HaRabbeinu Ephraim Ibn Ezra. So this is the Ibn Ezra asked the question, Hecha Min Mimach Rada Pesach HaHacha, HaBishar B'Nisan, Shnik Rava Omer, how is it that the Gemara assumes Mimach Rada Pesach means the 16th day of Nisan, but that means the day that Omer was offered? Maybe Mimach Rada Pesach means the 15th of Nisan, and then everything's going to be askew. In other words, we're saying that they ate the Kadosh on the 16th of Nisan, so why do they have to wait? But Mimach Rada Pesach is usually, Pesach is usually the day you bring the Korban Pesach, the 14th of Nisan. Mimach Rada Pesach is the 15th of Nisan. Then Tefav Nisan, Shadayin Lodek Rav HaOmer. The Omer wasn't brought yet. The Haki Nami Ashkan Parshat Maaseh, we see a similar term in Parshat Maaseh, the Chim Yimach Rada Pesach Yitzu B'nei Yisrael. It says in the beginning of Parshat Maaseh, Yimach Rada Pesach Yitzu B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Yisrael, the day after the Pesach they left Egypt. And there it's clear, V'hem Yitzu B'chamisha Asar, and it's clear it's the 15th, right? And the Yimach Rada Pesach means they left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan. So how is it that 15th, the Yimach Rada Pesach means the 15th of Nisan, incontrovertibly in Parshat Maaseh, and that here, say for Yehoshua, the Gemara assumes Mimach Rada Pesach means the 16th day of Nisan. The only Rabbeinu Tam, Da'im Mimach Rada Pesach Tahacha, Ha'inu Chamisha Asar B'Nisan Nami Ka'amar. So Rabbeinu Tam says Mimach Rada Pesach does mean the 15th day of Nisan here. In other words, it's not different. It's the same as in Parshas Maaseh. V'Hachi Perusho, or Hachi Perush Tikra, and he says, "Vayoklu me'avur ha'aretz klomer min ha'yashan." In other words, we assume me'avur ha'aretz means the produce of the land. We assume it meant they're eating from the chadash. So Rabbeinu Tam says, "No, they're eating from the yashan me'avur ha'aretz." He says, "Min ha'yashan machor to Pesach trihusruku lo matzot." In other words, that they're still eating from the. So what the pasuk means, "Vayoklu me'avur ha'aretz mimachor Pesach," it was still eating the yashan mimachor to Pesach. He says, because they had to eat matzahs at night, and the matzahs they're going to use the yashan, these figures. The kalui, dainu chadash. Now the pasuk, again, the Gemara only quotes part of the pasuk, but you know you need the whole pasuk. And it says they had kalui at etzem ayam hazeh. Kalui means like the part, you know, grain. Dainu chadash lachlu at etzem ayam hazeh. Dainu shisha asar b'nisan lachash kareva omer. It means the 16th. So the pasuk means, vayaklu me'abur ha'aretz, the yashan. be makar a Pesach. But the kalui, they wait for etzem hayom hazeh, which means the 16th day of Nisan. Bahachinami ashkan, shishasar dikri be etzem hayom hazeh. And we see that there's similar use for that. So it's an interesting, you know, turn there. Now, wait. I'll pause one second. A little bit later, I'll go back and we'll get it. So he says, all right. Now, he has a different shot here. He quotes the question from the Ibn Ezra. Okay, now he quotes, this is from the Daf, Al-Hadaf. He says, the Panim Yafod, in answer to this question, I think the Panim Yafod is a flaw. He answers this question, suggests the term Yimachar Pesach always means the day after eating the Korban Pesach. So Yimachar Pesach means, well, we'll see. The day after you eat the Korban Pesach, he postulates that the rule of Yom Olecha Har Alayla was not in effect prior to Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Prior to Matan Torah, the new day would commence at daybreak and the night would follow the day. Thus, when Klal Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, the Korban Pesach was technically offered and eaten on the same day, the 14th of Nisan. In other words, when they're leaving Egypt, they bring the Korban Pesach that day, or that night, and then they're eating it that night, but it's still the 14th day of Nisan, because the date did not change to the 15th until the morning. Therefore, when the Torah refers to leaving Mitzrayim in Machbarat Pesach, it means the morning of the 15th of Nisan, that either Korban Pesach was eaten on the 14th. In other words, however, in the Pasuk in Yehoshua, the term Machar Pesach translates into the 16th of Nisan, because the eating of the Korban Pesach took place on the 15th of Nisan. In other words, Machar Pesach means the day after you eat the Korban Pesach. So when left Egypt, what day did they eat the Korban Pesach? The 14th of Nisan, the way the Panim Yafot, the Flan stands. So Machar Pesach means the 15th, Machar Pesach. But in Sefer Yehoshua, it means the day after you eat the Korban Pesach, so they ate the Korban Pesach on the 15th of Nisan, so the Korban Pesach means the 16th of Nisan. He says, because they eat the Korban Pesach on the 15th of Nisan, therefore Korban Pesach versus the following of the 16th of Nisan. All right, now, one second. All right, just three more paragraphs, then we'll open up the floor. Okay, now, the Gemara in Chulan Yizayin derives from the Pasuk Batim Aleim Kol Tov, that during Klal Yisrael's conquest of Eretz Yisrael, they were permitted to partake in non-kosher foods found in the homes of the retreating enemy. Like the Gemara says, that cut like the chazire, like they could have like bacon, you know, when they came into Eretz Yisrael. This is batim leim kol tov asher lo, batim banita, whatever. Anyway, so he says, the Turi Evan, which is Shagas Aryeh, accordingly asked why Klal were permitted from eating chadash grain upon entering Eretz Yisrael, since they were permitted to partake of forbidden foods during the 7 years of conquest. This question is especially quoted in light of Toby Rishalmi, cited by Tosos, which we'll do shortly. It says that Klal Yisrael were forced to forego the mitzvah matzah the first year they entered the land because there was no yashan wheat available. Although in this Tosos we saw this Tosos that they did have it. So the question is, if they can eat bacon and treifas, why can't they eat chadash? That's the question. So the Or Chadash, and answers this question, postulates Pasuk Batim Alinkul Tov, teaches the famished troops were permitted to satisfy their hunger with the prepared meals that the retreating enemy left behind. However, they were not permitted to prepare themselves meals with non-kosher raw products. Therefore, although they were permitted to eat a loaf of bread that they found in a vacant house, they were not permitted to take raw chadash grain and make bread from it. Okay, now, what did you have, Yosef? What questions do you have before?
In the midbar, applied also, that's not applied, or only when they come in, they apply.
So, No, it's a chobot karka. Yeah, so a chobot karka doesn't begin until they get to Eretz Yisrael, clearly, yeah. But Rabbi Akiva would say it begins right away when they get through the over. Yeah, so I was bothered by that also. I was also bothered by that. And also I was bothered by the fact, remember, they had a shear of man, so how did it last for 33 days? So I spoke to a number of people in the base medrash about this, and it comes out that you have to say in this circumstance, like the man did last longer, and they were able to subsist on it for a longer time. That's the only thing you have to say. Say again, repeat. Yeah. No, I'm saying that there are things growing in the ground, or they could harvest it themselves and do all sorts of things with it. Now, All right, this we got. This we got. All right. So if this, yeah. So we'll wait till the end of the Gemara. Wait till the end of the Gemara with this. Okay. All right. Now, let me just do a few more tosos, and then we gotta move. Okay. Now look at Lamechen Ralph top tosos. Akrivomer v'hadar achul. Yerushalmi makshe lamalu matza echadash. So the Gemara says that they brought the korban omer, and then they ate from, and then they ate from the new crops. So Yerushalmi asks, why couldn't they eat matzah even from the chadash? He says, "V'yabo esay diba'erav toklu matzah v'yichalotas et chadash." In other words, esay should be dochalotas. Yeah, the esay of eating matzah, lotas of chadash. So why can't he eat matzah from the new crops? Umetareis in esay dekorma dibur lotas et achar dibur. So one is, it's interesting, an esay the korma dibur. In other words, the mitzvah matzah came before matzah Torah. It was an essay before matzah Torah, which is when the matzah is mentioned in Parshas Bo. He says that can't be docha lo taseh that came about after matzah Torah, which is an interesting idea based on analysis. But then inami yishomar d'gzeir k'zayit rishona to k'zayit sheni, or else that it's gzeirat rabbanon. In other words, maybe technically there's a different answer. Maybe technically they could have one k'zayis of matzah, but maybe they're going to eat more than the kazais, and it'll be over on the lot. So esi zochalota said, but as gzeira, you can't even have the first kazais because you may come to eat a second kazais. Oh, that what that? Oh, okay. You don't mean the Obama. You mean the Tatoa, right? Or what do you mean? What do you mean? Or
it's an essay of evening. Still for the most of say that they're pivoted.
Right.
So
All right. Let's see. I mean they're coming to Eretz Israel. They're coming to Eretz Israel. They're conquering the land. So they come in, there's a field, we steal, and they got it. And that's theirs. Okay, now. Now, on the second Tosos, Now, the third Tosos, in other words, so Eretz no Shavet, according to Rashi, means the West Bank, which is more important than the East Bank. So it's called Eretz no Shavet, well, it's the land. He says, by the way, it's Sichon Vog, and Kseir Eskanan is the East Bank. But Tosos says, Yesh Beforshim Ipcha. Someone says it's just Punk Faker. The Eretz No Shavet, Hainu Eretz Sichon Vog. When the Pasuk says Eretz No Shavet, it means the East Bank, but currently No Shavet, Lafisha Krova Lamidbar, Umafka Mi Midbar, Babi Yishav. In other words, you're leaving the Midbar, now you come to a settled area, that's Eretz No Shavet. And that's when you leave the Midbar, and then you come to Sichon Vog, so that's Eretz No Shavet. Who say Eretz Canaan? Hainu sof Eretz Canaan, and say Eretz Canaan means like the West Bank when they are across the Arden is the edge of Eretz Canaan. Anyway, just a horror. All right, let's see back on the Gemara now. Everybody with me? Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? All right, I'm going to go on. Okay, now. All right. So now the Gemara says around the eighth line. Tani idach uvenei shalach luda manar ba'im shana. So another Brisa says that Bnei Yisrael consumed the man for 40 years. Did they really have the man for 40 years? They had it for 40 years minus 30 days, because the man, the Gemara is going to prove, didn't begin until the 15th of Iyar. So they leave Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan, and then they begin eating the man on the 15th of Iyar, and then they're eating the man until the 15th of Nisan, 40 years later. So it's not 40 years, it's 40 years minus 30 days. In other words, the Navi is teaching us that, in a sense, they did eat it for 40 years, because when they left Egypt, they brought they baked it into cakes of matzah when they left Egypt. Those cakes that they ate when they left Egypt for the first 30 days had like the taste of man. So they quoted in the Masifta, and Rabbi Leibowitz, I think, quoted this as well, that the Ben Ish Chai says it was like to transition them to the man. And was the man is like a ruchni food. It comes down from, I'm going to eat this way. So here they had like a gashmi food, but the gashmi food is taking like tasting like the ruchni food. And it was to help them transition to the man. Right. Well, they bake some, you know, right when when leaving, and then they're baking until the 15th. Okay. Now, Tani Idach, we learn another braisa, B'Shababa Adar Meit Moshe. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu's yortzeit is not mentioned in the Torah. The only yortzeit that is mentioned in the Torah is Aaron. Aaron Cohen is the only yortzeit that's mentioned in the Torah. But what Chazal teaches that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, which we're going to learn right now, but you see it's in Megillah as well. B'Shabab Adar Nolad. So he died on the 7th of Adar, and he was born on the 7th of Adar. Minayin Shabab Adar Meit. How do I know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th day of Adar? Shnemar Vayamat Shem Moshe Ebed Hashem. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu died. This is Parshat Zodah Bracha that we'll lay shortly over Sukkot. B'Chtiv Vayikhu B'nei Yisrael Moshe Barba Moav Shloshim Yom. That Klal Yisrael mourned for Moshe 30 days after his death. B'Chtiv Vayiyak Reim Moshe Ebed Hashem. In the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, it says, after Moshe Rabbeinu died, Uktiv Moshe Avimei, Betakum Avur, Hashem commands Yehoshua, now cross the Yarden, Uktiv, then it says, Yivru B'Kerav HaMachaneh, B'Tzavur Am Limor, that Yehoshua directs, I think, the Shotrim to go out and pass through the Machaneh, Achin L'Kam Tzida, prepare provisions for the way, Ki Ba'od Shloshid Yamim, Tavur HaYarden, or Atem Obrim, it should be, Atem Obrim HaYarden, because in 3 days, you're going to cross the Yarden. So we have 30 days of mourning, and then 3 days, and then another 3 days, we're going to cross the Yarden. Uchtiv, am alumina Yarden, v'asur l'chodesh harishon. The Nabi says, Mefurash, that Klal Yisrael left the Yarden on the 10th day of Nisan. So, seimihen shloshim v'shloshi yamim. So subtract from the 10th of Nisan, 33 days. He says, l'mafreya, alamadat hashem v'shvadar, meit Moshe. So then you know for sure that he died on the 7th of Adar. And then how do we know that he was born on the 7th of Adar? Shinemar, it's very apropos. I know you know, like you have your insight tonight, Moshe, Michael and the other people. Shinemar, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm 120 years old today. The word Yom is superfluous. If you say, what's that Yom? It says, Matam Lomar Hayom. That Hashem gives tzaddikim like their whole full year. And then he says, Shnemar, in this part, Yamech Amalei. So, Relievus is quoting the Chazon Ish, and when I say there are some tzaddikim, it doesn't get filled up, but that's what the way the Gemara has over here with this. Now, one second. Right. All right, he has a piece of Torah on this, but if we have time, I'll do this. I want to make sure we get through the Gemara. But this is from the Morot Daf Yomi. He says, among other things, that now some of the men I fast on the Yortzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the seventh day of Adar, and today the people in the Chevra Kedisha are mocking that way. Like the Chevra Kedisha, that's their best day. Why Dafka the Chevra Kedisha? I assume because it says that you know that Hashem buried him. It's like Borot HaBagai, and like it's like the best type of Gevura and death. So I assume that's what it is. Yeah, we used to have here years ago. That was it was Jerry Weinstein was one the whole thing at the time. Yeah, but I thought that Jerry was one of the anyway. So he says it's important to know what day Moshe Rabbeinu died, which Adar he died in. Some hole that died in the Shana Muberet from the first Adar. But from our sugya, the Yabes Rabbi Yaakov and approves that Moshe Rabbeinu died in the Adar that's near Nisan. Because the Gemara says that the Tira Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, with 33 days, the main would happen to be the Shana Muberet that he died in the second Adar. What? He's talking 40 years after, you see, is what I'm saying. But as long as we have our luach, there has to be a shana muberet. There's no other, otherwise the luach wouldn't work. So he says the Maase of the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the minhag ha'olam is like those who hold that you should fast in the first Adar. But I need to look at that Mishnah Berurah. I didn't look at it. You can look at it. All right, I need to say like. One second. Kelik Kafka Pei Bob. Kelik Bob and Mishra. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, this is a different scene. Let's see. Oh, I see. So here, I was thinking of a different scene. When here he has the days that people fast, and I'm Mechuyev. So he says the seventh of Adar Moshe Rabbeinu died. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down. He says Rishanamu Ber Yishtei Ben Achronim. Right. So there are different opinions about Achronim, but Rishanamu Beret, and then he quotes that to fast on the first Adar. But I think, and he says, yeah, the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael is to fast on the second Adar. Yeah, but in Chutz La'aretz, yeah. So I tell you what it is. There's, let me see. There's a see. I'll tell you what it's what's totally with. There's another. I didn't look up this halacha today. But one second. There's a halacha here. One second. Let's say a person. Right. So right. So let me get that. No. Let's say what. Let's. Well, right. But it wasn't originally. One second. Yeah. All right. So we're right. So there's a different theme, but a theme on top of Samachet. So the Mechaber says, "Shirah Yom Shemayt Aviv Yom Ba'Adar Bashanu Beret." Let's say somebody's yahrzeit is an Adar, and now it's a leap year. So which Adar should he fast on? People fast on yahrzeit. Yitaneh Ba'Adar Shenin. Mechaber says you should fast on the second Adar. Is what the Mechaber says, and then the Ramah says, "V'yeshu Yitaneh Barishon." Some say you should fast the first Adar. He says, unless the father died in the Bechena Minag, Mihu Yesh Machmir Lefeno B'Shneim. But some of Machmir is fast on both. So the people were just saying Kaddish, so we say Kaddish to both. But the Ramah says that you should fast on the first one. So here where he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, one second. So now Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, is it back? I got one. So, that's the thing. Yeah. So, right. So the Mishnah Berurah says that the Minhag HaOlam is to fast on the first. That could fit in with the. That could fit. In other words, you see, the Mishnah Berurah is talking about not the year of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's saying if it's Shana Uberet now, which one should fast on? In other words, we had the question when Moshe Rabbeinu died, did he die on Shana Uberet? So the Rabbi Yaakov and the Gemara, it would have to be that the day of death would have been the second one. So if that would be the case, then without a doubt, the Yortzeit would be in the second Adar. Without a doubt, the Yortzeit would be the second Adar. But if Liatzur, he died in the year which was not Uberet, so then there's a machlok between the Mechaber and the Ramah, which date to fast. The Mechaber holds you do the second Adar, and the Ramah holds you do the first. No, in other words, let's say a person died on a Shana Pshuta, and now it's a Shana Mubarak. So if that were the case, then we can understand. So then the Mishnah Berurah could be saying to fast on the first. I need to look through this whole thing a little bit more. All right, let me go further. All right, now, but in general, this machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Mechaber proposed that if die on a Shana Pshuta and now it's Shana Muberet, then you observe. No, the Mechaber holds you to the second Adar, and the Ramah holds you to the first Adar. But the Ramah says that some of Machmir do both Adars. Okay, so typically, I think we tell people to say Kaddish in both Adars. It's just saying Kaddish and not fasting. But let's see back on the Gemara now. Okay, I have to run a little bit now. And so hold off all questions for a bit, okay? So now the Gemara says we're 5 lines of gets wide on Lamed Chen Vav. Tani Rishim Bar Yochai Omer Shlosh Pesukim Nitzavis Bebakniset on the Aretz. Now we're back to our sugya. There's a famous Rambam. He says the Rambam says three mitzvot Klal Yisrael come in when they enter Eretz Yisrael, but different mitzvot like to appoint a king to build a base of Mikdash. and to destroy Amalek. There's a famous Rambam in Hilchot Malachim, but here it's talking about different three mitzvot. It means there are three mitzvot that are chobot karka. Yeah, three mitzvot that are chobot karka, and they became activated as soon as they crossed the Yarden. So the three mitzvot are Chadash, Orla, and Kilayim. Chadash, Orla, and Kilayim. So again, we discussed this earlier. So we said, if it's activated immediately, that means Moshe Bot means it's everywhere in the world. That should go hand in glove with it, right? The little horror, that's what we think. So that's what's happening here. So the Tanur of Shem Yochai says, Shlosh Mitzvot is the Vuyus of Agnes Tala Aretz. So with three mitzvot that took effect, even though it was a full of karka, as soon as they crossed the yard, the mitzvot took effect. And that's Kadash, Orla, and Kalayim, but no, go Bemba Aretz, Bemba Chutzla Aretz. And they apply both to Eretz Yisrael and Chutzla Aretz. So that fits in with the Tanur of Blazer, who held that, you know, the way we said it was the chumra that Chadash is applies in Chutzla Aretz, right? But the mission was Reb Lezer, the Wudin Shinhagu, and he says logically it makes sense that they should apply everywhere. Why? Uma Chadash in Yisroelam. Chadash is not, in other words, the thing that's prohibited from Kaddash is not prohibited forever, right? Just wait a number of months, that's permissible. It was not such a severe Easter. There ain't Easter or Easter Hana. There's no Easter in getting Hana from Kaddash. There's a Heter li Easter. It means on the 16th of Nisan itself, if the Omer is brought, then there's Mutar. So no way made by Aretz, made by Chutzla Aretz. So nevertheless, it applies even in Chutzla Aretz. Kilayim, now here he's talking about like with Kilea Kerem, if I plant, let's say, grains in the Kerem, so Kildayim Isran Isra Olam, that's prohibited forever. The grapes and the grains. The Isran Isra Hana, it's prohibited in Hana as well. Being Heter Isran, there's no Heter to it ever. So, Achas Kamakama, Kilea Kerem should apply in Chutzla Aretz. He says, "V'hu adin la orla b'shtayim," and orla has two of the three elements. So the way Rashi takes it, look at eight lines above the bottom in Rashi. After orla ba the tav chomer zeh b'shnei hochol, after shlishi ein ba shenustro isra olam. So the way Rashi takes it, orla is not isra olam because if you wait more than 3 years, then you're okay. The only thing is, though, this fruit is isra olam. He says, "Miu isra hanahu v'in lo hetter tokim isoro." But it's an Easter now, there's no Heter. So I don't have time to get this right now, but Tosfos was asked on this, but no, let me move on. I want to make sure we get through the whole daf today, okay? In other words, if you look at the second last book in the Orla B'Shtayim, so the second line, Hikshu Rabbeinu Tam, Rei Apresha Gadal B'Shnei Orla, Astroli Olam, Be'en Lo Heter. Yeah, but let me, I want to move on, because I want to make sure we get through the daf, okay? So he says here, so again, the basic idea of Rav Yochai says is that when you have a chovat karka, as soon as you cross the Yarden, it's prohibited. And it's prohibited everywhere in the world. And the three examples we have and that he quotes are Chadash, Orla, and Kilayim. Now, we'll see that his son disagrees with him. Remember, the son spent 13 years in the cave with him. Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon says, turn page, Kol mitzvah shnitzavu Yisrael klorim k'nisa tan la'aretz. No, so his son says, now when it now applies for a command on Tariag mitzvah before they get to Israel. So the command on all the mitzvah before they get to Israel. But it means any mitzvah they were commanded to do. It means if it's a chobot aguf. So any mitzvah is a chobot aguf, that's no heg bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. Chobot aguf is anywhere in the world, the son says. La'char k'nisa tan la'aretz, but if it's a chobot akarka, in a heg get ela ba'aretz. So the father is saying, if it's a chobot karka, it applies everywhere in the world. And the son is saying, a chobot karka, no, it's just an Eretz Yisrael. Chutz min hashmatak safim mishluach avadim, except for the like release of debts in the sabbatical year and freeing the slaves in the Yovel year. Sha'af apishtis tabu alehem lafarki satan la'aretz, even though they were commanded, in other words, even though those mitzvahs, we'll explain and we'll ask, even though those mitzvahs only apply when they get to Israel, no egg being ba'aretz being b'chutz la'aretz. It's no egg even in chutz la'aretz. So, in other words, things that are chovat karka only apply to Eretz Israel. For reasons that the Gemara is going to explain, these two mitzvahs are connected to chovat karka. But notwithstanding that, it applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Okay? That's the, we don't understand the Braisa yet, but that's what the Braisa says. So the Braisa says now on line 8, Hashmat Ksafim Kovar HaGufi. What do you mean? Hashmat Ksafim, that's Kovar HaGuf. So Mela, it should be applied even in the Midbar, and it should apply everywhere in the world, even according to Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, Lo Nitzrako El Tanya. So when he said that Hashmatat Ksafim only applies in Eretz Yisrael, that's because of the following Braisa. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rebbe Omer, Vized Devar Hashmitah Shemot. So it says Shemitah twice in the Pasuk. Vized Devar Hashmitah, this is the matter of the Shemitah, of the sabbatical year. Shemot Bo Baal Mashe Yado. Everybody should relinquish or release the money that's owed to him. Okay? That's what the Pasuk says. But it says Shemitah twice. Zed Devar Hashmitah Shemot. Vized Shemitah Raksub Devar. So Chazal teaches the Pasuk is alluding to two dinim of Shemitah. Achat Shemitah Karka, Achat Shemitah Ksafim. In other words, the Pasuk is referring to both Shemitah Karka, leaving the land fallow, and also releasing the debts that are owed to you. Meaning, Mizmash Tamashami Karka, Atamashami Ksafim. The Torah is telling us that Haba Hatalia, that when there's Shemitah Karka, then there's Shemitah Ksafim on a derived level. If you're not releasing the land, and releasing the land would only be when the Yovel's no way, when most of Klal Yisrael are in Israel, though it's getting close to that today, if not already. But you need from all the Shabbatim. So Mamela, the Bryce is teaching me, so what he, Reb Lazar Shimon, is saying, that Hashmata Ksafim we view as a Chobot Karka type of mitzvah. So there's only Hashmat Ksafim when they're crossing to Eretz Yisrael, but it applies according to Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, it applies everywhere. You're right. Now, the Ema, so the Gemara says, say, B'makom Shtam Hashemi Karka, Tam Hashemi Ksafim, Kom Sh'ena Tam Hashemi Karka, Ena Tam Hashemi Ksafim. So why can't I say that the Mitzvah Shemit Ksafim only applies to the place that you're Mishami Karka? Mishami Kishimi Karka is only in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe Shemuk Safim is only in Israel. Tamalomar, ki karashmi tal Hashem mikomakom. This is the superfluous phrase. It says ki karashmi tal Hashem, and that superfluous phrase seems to me it applies everywhere in the world. So well, let's go slowly with this. So I have a miyud and a ribuy in essence. So the miyud is that is Shemitah Safim is only when Shemitah Karka takes place. But then the ribui is it takes place everywhere in the world. That's the ribui. Now, there's another way we could have done this. We could have done it the other way around, right? We could have said that, that one sentence that. All right, let me leave it. Okay, so that's it for now. Okay, so again, so we said, according to Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, so according to the Tana Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, there are three mitzvahs that took effect immediately across the Eretz Yisrael. That's Chadash, Orla, and Kelayim, right? Chadash, Orla, and Kelayim. Right, as soon as it crossed into Eretz Yisrael. And the mitzvahs apply everywhere in the world. There's Chobos Karka, but it applies everywhere in the world, according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And according to Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, no, they only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And the only exceptions to the rule, which we didn't even think, that are Shemitah Ksafim and Shiluach Havadim. So Shemitah Ksafim, that seems like that's a Chobot Gavra, but the Gemara says, the Torah links it to the Karka, so it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Now, let me do a few more lines and we'll pause. Shiluach Havadim, Chobot Agufi. So the Gemara says the same thing about freeing the slaves, that's also Chobot Agufi. Shiluach Havadim is also... Now, Shiluch Abadim, there's really two dinim of Shiluch Abadim. One is that after 6 years they're released, and the other is in the Yovel year they're released. Let's see. Shiluch Abadim, Chobot Aguf, Satan, I mean, a whole active, no, but it looks like they're going about the Yovel. So skip about the 6 years. It looks about the release in the Yovel year. So Shiluch Abadim, Chobot Aguf, Satan, I mean, a whole active, attempt to Roba Aretz. It says you should proclaim freedom throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof, which is on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. So he says, so I would think you only get like the freedom call if you're in Eretz Yisrael, not if you're in Chutz La'aretz. Tamal Lomar, Yovel hi mikol makom. So it's like extra words teaching me wherever you are, you get the freedom check. So that's why he says that both of those. So mikol makom. Yeah. So that's what Reb Lazar Shimon says. Those two mitzvahs apply shmit k'safim and freedom of slaves applies everywhere in the world. So then, why does Torah say kvatem tovar ba'aretz in the land? Bizman shadrur noeg ba'aretz, when freedom is taking place in Eretz Yisrael, noeg b'chutz la'aretz. In other words, if in Eretz Yisrael they're blowing the shofar in the Yovel year and they're letting the slaves go, then all slaves in the world go free in the Yovel year. Ain drur noeg ba'aretz, but if they're not doing that in Eretz Yisrael, in a noeg b'chutz la'aretz, and it's not in chutz la'aretz either. Okay, so let's go. Let's digest slowly. So again, so we had a machlok between Rishon Bar Yochai and his son. According to Rishon Bar Yochai, so the Chovet Karka applies everywhere in the world. The Chovet Karka in Orla and Kilayim, and what was the other one? Orla, Kilayim, and Mechadash applies everywhere in the world. Rents come to Israel. And then, according to his son, no, they only apply in Eretz Yisrael. He holds that mitzvahs that are Kovas Karka are only applied to Eretz Yisrael. That's where the
were given afterwards.
No, no, no. Again, they were given all the mitzvahs in the Midbar. Every mitzvah was given in the Midbar, but when can I do the mitzvah? So if it's Kovas Karka, I'm only doing it when I get to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now, let's see further in the Gemara. Any other questions come to us, anything we did so far? All right, let's see further in the Gemara. What's up? Yeah, you have 2 minutes. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, I was going to say that the corruption Dvar B'chol Ha'aretz, that Rav Pam used to say, why would you be over the rice, the blowing shofar on Yom Kippur? He says, everybody knows that God. What do you think? The slaves don't know? And you think all these guys with the funny earlobes that stayed on the Eden, they don't know they're going out on Yom Kippur. So why do you need to blow shofar? What's the point of blowing shofar? So he says the point of blowing shofar is not for the slaves. The point of blowing shofar is for the balabos, because if the balabos has a getreya slave that's with him already 30 years, 35 years, the person was at the bar mitzvahs, at the chasnas, he became part of the family, and now they're blowing shofar and they're getting rid of him. So he says the reason they blow shofar is that you should know that it's a shtickle the chomer to know that you're not the only one in the boat. Everybody else is from the same boat.
Did you hear that directly from Rapam, or you read that?
No, I saw that from Rapam. No,
you
no,
saw
I
saw it in writing. You did not hear it from me. Okay, very nice, very nice. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. We got to run. Now we're 20 lines from the bottom. Okay, now the Gemara says Tanana Tam. We learn the Mishnah Masechet Orla, Hakadosh Asur Min HaTorah B'Chol Makom. So the Mishnah says Mefurash, like the Tana Reb Lezer in our Mishnah. Remember, we had Machlok Rishonim, which way we paskin. Remember the Rif and the Rambam paskin like Reb Lezer, because this Stam Mishnah, we have the Stam Mishnah Masechet Orla, says that the Kadosh is Purim Torah in every place, all around the world. He says Orla Halacha, Orla. Outside of Eretz Yisrael's halacha, which we'll have to clarify what that means, baha kilayim, and here it means kilei akarem. That's mean divrei sofer. That's on the rabbanan level. Okay, that's the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "My halacha." What does the Tana Mishnah mean when he says that orla is halacha? Am Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel hilchata medina. So Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel means that the people accustom themselves to doing the din of orla. Look at Rashi. It's around the sixth narrow line in Rashi. He says Hilchata Medina, and he grew him alayhem b'chutz la'aretz. They kind of adopted this on their own. That's the way Rashi learned. He says, now, then back in the Gemara, Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Moshe Misinai. So Ula's in the Rabbi Yochanan. No, the pshat means halacha. That's halacha Moshe Misinai. That Orla applies outside of Eretz Israel. So Amar Le Ula Rabbi Yehuda. So Ula says to Rabbi Yehuda, Bishleim Zidida Mina Halacha Moshe Misinai. So he's asking a question. We're going to learn another Mishnah in Masechet Orla, where there's a difference in halacha between a safek orla and a safek kelayim. And safek orla is treated more stringently than a safek kelayim. And so he says, according to me, it makes sense because orla is halacha m'shem Sinai, and kelayim is just a drabanan. So it makes sense that we'd be more strict with the Torah than with the rabbinic prohibition. But according to you, you're going to have a problem. That's the thrust of the Gemara. All right, let's see what the safek is. Ditnan, we learn the Mishnah, safek orla ba'aretz asur. Now, I have a safek orla. Safek orla could mean, I don't know if this tree is 3 years old or not. Yosef just said, or I could have two trees and someone gathered from both trees. I don't know which is which. I don't know, one of them was orla, one was not orla, but each fruit is now safek orla. So the Tanna Mishnah says, safek orla ba'aretz asur. So if I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I have a fruit and a safek orla, I can't eat the fruit. He says, Besuria mutar. Suria is the area that David Melech conquered, which is the Kibush Yachid. So this Mishnah does not count it as part of Eretz Yisrael. So Besuria mutar. Now when we say in the story it's mutar, doesn't mean that it means that if the goy is selling it, so then I can eat it. That's what basically what it means. One second. Right. Yeah, right. If it was already gathered, so then it's permissible to me. Now, if I'm elsewhere, I'm further away from Eretz Yisrael, Yored v'lokeach, uvad shlo yirenu locate. So I can go down, I can tell the goy I need some fruit, and the goy is now going to gather the fruit. Let's say in his area, some of the trees, let's see, he's got an orchard. Some of the trees are orla trees, some are not orla trees. I can go down to him and say, I want to buy some fruit. And he says, as long as I don't see him, you know, plucking it, I can have those fruit. But in terms of kilei hakerem, tanan, we learn the Mishnah, keremana tu yerek, if there's a vineyard and there are vegetables growing in this vineyard, which is kilei hakerem, in other words, he says, v'yerek nimkar chutzlo. And now, somebody's selling the vegetables right near this vineyard. So I'm choshesh that the vegetables came from the vineyard. Ba'aretz asur, in Eretz Yisrael, I can't have it at all. The Surya mutar, and Syria allow it to. The chutz la'aretz, yored belokate. In chutz la'aretz, the way Rashi learns, the Jew himself can go down and collect the vegetables. Uvad shlo yilkot biyad. But as long as he doesn't do it, Wait. So he says, yeah, he'll have the non-Jewish owner go down and pick the greens that are unquestionably kilayim, as long as the Jew doesn't pick it with his hand, he says. Right. So, anyway, the point is though that it's more strict. In other words, with the orla, I can't see the person picking it. Here, yeah, I can have the goy take it and pick it as long as I'm not picking it. So it's more stringent than by orla than it is by kilayim. So he says. So according to me, Ula says I understand because one is halakha m'shem Sinai, one not. He says. In other words, according to me, orla is halakha m'shem Sinai chutz la'aretz, and kilayim chutz la'aretz is just a din rabbanan. El gidach kaplan lamtet min aleph nini. So the two brises should say, according to you, they're both rabbanan. Yeah. So nitni ozev zeh yorei belokeh, that either in either event you can go down and purchase it, ozev zeh yorei belokeh, or either one, I can see the goy go and collect it. So the Gemara says, "Ha'amar le Shmuel Rabbanon," but Shmuel said to Rabbanon, "Tani ozev zeh yorei belokeach, ozev zeh yorei belokeach." In other words, Shmuel said, "Indeed, like the prices should be amended, or the mishnah should be amended that way." Then Mar Barei the Rav the Mat like the Kula, he learned leniently, "Zev zeh yorei belokeach, v'achshel to biyad." That in a chinam you can see the goy collected as long as the Jew doesn't do it biyad. Okay, let me go back to some things that I was talking about earlier, and we'll take it down from here now. All right, one thing that came up, here's a piece over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu was born and died on the 7th of Adar, because Hashem is Mavali Shnotayim Shel Tzadikim Miyom Liyom. And he says that number Rishon said that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos at Shas Mincha, and that's why we say Sikat Tzedek at Mincha, the Maksik Din for his Tira, and there are two other people, I think David Amalek, and Aaron, is it? I think Aaron would call anything. Yeah, but some are cholik on that, because we know Tosfos Menachah brings down that on the day of his death, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sifrei Torah, which itself is a big accomplishment. But if he died on Shabbos, how could he have done that? Okay, so now, has a whole shaila here. In the days of Rameir Eisenstadt, who's the author of the Sefer Panim Me'iro, I thought Rameir Eisenstadt was also the author of Pitei Tshuva, which is on the Shulchan Aruch. But he says, the Panim Me'iro, it was an Ikra, a woman passed away in the second of Elul in 1731, Tav Tzadi Aleph, 1 year after her marriage. So the marriage date was the second of Elul, 1730, and she died exactly 1 year later on her anniversary. After her death, there was a big dispute between the husband and the mishpacha of the wife. The yorshim of the wife tainted that based on Takan Rabbeinu Tam and the Chachmei Tzarfat, a baal doesn't yorshim his wife if she dies within the first year of the wedding. And Rama brings this down in Eben Ezer. So he says, and the baal tainted that it was on the day that she got married, so a year had passed, and he's entitled to the Yerusha. So the Panim Me'iro, he's Ma'arich in his Tshuva, and he brings Tzadim on both sides. And one of his rayas, based on our Sugya, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Ma'alei Shnotayim Shel Tzadikim. So if we'll assume, that, so it means, if you're going to assume, she died on the second level. So if you assume that's the second year, so then, why did Moshe Rabbeinu die on the 7th of Adar? Logically, in other words, he should have died on the right on the 6th of Adar. In other words, if there was a husband's tining, she's already in the second year of marriage. Because she, in other words, I married her on the 2nd of Elul. She dies a year later on the same day, the 2nd of Elul. So the takana was, if you die in the first year, you don't yarsh. The husband says, I yarsh him. She made it for a year. So he says, if that's the case, so then if that same date is considered the next year, so then Hashem was Mali Shnotav Shel Tzadikim. So Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th of Adar. When did he die? He should die on the 6th of Adar, the way you were thinking, because he died on the 7th of Adar, he's the second year. So it sounds like that day is Nechshav of like part of the earlier year. But notwithstanding that, in the end, the Panim Me'iro was Machria that the husband should keep the Yerusha. He says that the Hakra is not Barura in this, and without a Hakra, Barura, you can't force him to disgorge himself of the property. All right, now, he has here another piece. There's also a little story here. Many European Jews would travel, this is on Chadash Asur Min HaTorah. Many European Jews would travel to various resorts during the summer. Some did this for health reasons, whether it's something needed to change the environment to recharge the batteries. The Briska Rabzal was once in such a resort, filled with many Hasidim. One Shabbos, the Rav was about to make Kiddush on wine when a non-Jewish workman entered the room, gazed at the spectacle of the Jewish Rav, really about to perform some kind of ceremony and a cup of wine, and left. Immediately after this, the Rav made Kiddush. The Hasidim were very surprised at this, since where they came from, people were careful not to drink wine that a non-Jew had even seen. So we discussed this in the past. Yeah. Al-Pi Kabbalah, it's a Chumrah, but Al-Pi Kabbalah, some people are machmir that even if the goy looks at the wine, that it becomes prohibited. What?
No,
not if it's mabusha. We're talking about non-mabusha wine. So a simple shot is if they touch it, then but someone is even they look at it. So he said, when the Rav noticed them whispering among themselves, he asked someone to bring a Shalach HaKadosh. He opened the page where the Shalach HaKadosh writes that one must be exceedingly careful regarding the very serious prohibition of Kaddash. Someone who transgresses this violates the Torah law. He then pointed out that on the very same page, Shalach HaKadosh records that some are careful not to make a Kiddush on wine seen by a non-Jew. The Briska Rav asked the group, he's speaking to all these Hasidim, why are you very careful not to make a Kiddush on wine seen by a non-Jew, regarding which he writes that only some are careful, but you're not particular about Chadash, which he holds as an Easter derisive. So the Chazon Ish Tzitzal said, every mitzvah has a mazel. For example, some are very careful not to transgress the rabbinical prohibition of eating milk and chicken, but are completely indifferent to selling the produce of Shemitah, which is also a rabbinic prohibition. In other words, simple pshat, you know, Basar Oph Bechalov is the Rabbanon, But he says that, you know, selling the payroll trees is also prohibitively prohibited. All right. So I think we have it for today. All right. Let me end recording. 1 second.